Today, we're going to consider waiters. Waiters are wanted very urgently. Let us pray. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you please speak to me and speak to each and every one of us to the glory of your holy name. In Christ's name, amen. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, a time that we are waiting, expecting, anticipating the appearance of Jesus the Christ. And you remember last Sunday, we established the fact that Jesus is actually the Messiah, the Christ. So we are waiting, preparing for his arrival on the Christmas day. So how are you waiting? How are you? Are you doing a good job waiting, planning, preparing, buying your gifts, and sending them out? Waiters are really urgently needed now. Let's talk about meals, eating out. You know that eating out has become an interesting trend in the U.S. People love to eat out, go to restaurants, and relax and eat. It is reported in 2015 that U.S. people spent $745.61 billion U.S. dollars on restaurant food and drink. And in 2016 alone, 19 million people visited a full-service restaurant, while 49 million people visited a quick-service restaurant. And there are so many reasons why we want to eat out. Maybe we want to save time to prepare, time to cook, time to serve. Or maybe because we want variety of food. Oh, yeah, let me try McDonald's. Oh, okay, let me try, last Sunday? First of all, we went to Riviera Maya. I had a lunch with the Methodist minister in Dayton here, Mike Dominic, and the wife, and the music pastor and his wife, and their 2-year-old. And I went over there, you know, people are saying, oh, I like your dress. I mean, everybody, they will leave their food to come over. Oh, can I touch your dress? Yeah, you can. And first I was, you know, talking. Oh, yeah, my mother, yeah, that's why how she dresses, that kind of stuff. But yeah, restaurant. Do you know that you and me that go to restaurants are waiters? Do you know that we go there hungry? Maybe like me, I didn't eat. You know, I don't normally, most times I don't eat in the morning. So from worship, we went over there hungry. And so you go to restaurant hungry, and yet you wait to be assigned a seat. You wait to be asked your choice of drink. Hey, do you want juice or water? And most times I may say water, and then I'll change my mind and say, yeah, I can, you know, cheat. Yeah, let me, can I have Sprite? You wait to be given the menu. You wait to get your food. You wait to get your bill. You wait for the payment to be picked up. And then you wait also to get your receipt, to get your credit card back, to add a tip, to sign the receipt, to get a change, you know, change or something if you use cash. You even wait to leave the restaurant. And especially if there are too many people. Oh, okay, just waiting. And we do a good job waiting. In other places, we wait. You and me. We wait at the doctor's office. I mean, you wait and wait and wait, and then they'll call you, check your BP, you do your height and weight, and then you wait for the doctor in the room. And the doctor will show up. I remember being in one place for 1 hour. I didn't see a doctor, and I came out, and I was like, what's going on here? I've been here forever and ever and ever. Oh, yeah, ma'am, we have too many people. Yeah, she's going to be here in a minute. And it wasn't a minute, but I waited. You wait at the mechanic workshop. You wait at your drive-through to get whatever you want to buy, maybe pharmacy or whatever. You wait at the airport. You wait at the checkout to check out whatever. Waiting everywhere. Even the restaurant people, the people that act as a liaison between you and me and the people that cook the food, they also wait. And in fact, they are even better than us because they are called waiters. But nobody has ever called you a waiter. But can I assign that to you, that you are a waiter? And so these waiters will wait to find the right seat for us, to settle us. And when we are settled, they will wait for us to be comfortable before they come to us. They wait for us to choose. And for me, I didn't know how to choose. I didn't even know what to eat. Sometimes they're waiting for me. I will have to call my son in Texas. For real. What was it that I ate the other time? Yeah, I think, Mom, I think you like this. Yeah, tell them this. Okay, hey, yay, yeah, I'm ready. Can I have this? And they're waiting. They can't do anything than to wait. And they wait for us to get bill and all that, to get the bill from the accountant, to get the food from the people who are serving it. They wait for us to finish. They wait for us to give. I mean, just wait. And eventually they wait for us to finish so that they can clear the table. Or wait. Do you know that even clay, C-L-A-Y, waits for the potter? And I'm sure you know what this is. What's this? Play-Doh. Do you know that this Play-Doh is waiting for me? Can't do nothing. If I smash it, that's my choice. If I break it, that's my choice. If I want to build a pot like we do in Africa, I don't have the time to do it. I would have shown you how we do, you know, clay pots. Beautiful. I know how to do it. Yeah, I can do this with the clay pot, Play-Doh. This is purple. This is pink. This Play-Doh has no hand in the color. We give it the color. Whatever we want to give it, we give it. This is pink. We give it pink. And this is blue. So whatever color you come out with, white, oh, I'm white, black, I'm black, pink, I'm pink. You didn't choose to be whatever color you are. The Maker made you to be white. So it's not about you. It's not about me to be black. I was talking with Anita, and Anita said, you know, I went to Nigeria, and everybody was saying, you are darker. What happened to you? Why? You are really dark. You know, and my colleagues are saying, what happened? You are darker. You know what I told her? And I said, I am black and proud. I love to be dark and dark. So this dough is waiting for me to do whatever. If I decide to start doing the pot and I decide to smash it and do whatever, nothing. He can do nothing but to wait. and see the final product of this. That's what where we read in Jeremiah. We don't have a choice. We wait for our maker. We are a work in progress. That's what we are. God wants us to wait and be patient with him. But we don't. John chapter 3:2 says, dear friend, in fact, dear friends, now we are children of God. We have not yet been shown what we will be in the future. But we know that when Christ comes, we will be like him. We will see him just as he is. You don't know what tomorrow brings for you. But one thing that we know is this, that if we are believers, we will be like Christ. And so we wait to see what tomorrow has for us. Jeremiah 29:11, and I read, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not me. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so we wait. The plans are there. But Habakkuk says this in 2:3. It is not yet time for the message to come true. But that time is coming soon. The message will come true. It may seem like a long time, but be patient and wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not be delayed. I don't know what God is telling you. I don't know what you have been begging and pleading and crying for the Lord to come through for you. Wait. Because you've been doing a good job waiting at the restaurant, a place. You've been doing a good job waiting at the doctor's office. Wait. The Bible says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Can you please wait? Oh, but we don't. It's a problem, and especially in the United States of America. You won't believe it. If you go to the other, you know, places of the world, immediately you will land in U.S. It's like, boom, 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 like, oh my goodness, ooh, wait. A German professor said this, and I quote, talking about the Americans, they rush around so much and never bother to rest and reflect. They want to see how many miles they can make in a day. They are striving for the very best and quickest method of doing stuff, of doing things. And the American businessman who is in the biggest hurry seems to be greatly appreciated. And we have American dream. And we think that we are in control of our destiny. So we do everything so fast to get the American dream. We want to be attended really fast and quick. When I came to the U.S., I started working in 7-Eleven. One person came, I was brand new. Didn't know anything. The accent is still something else. And this guy, I was at the back of the counter. The guy came and said, can I have a couple of that? In my country, when you say couple, couple means husband and wife. So I was like, couple? We don't sell husband and wife here. And then the guy said, so angrily, can I have a couple of that? So I was looking to see couple. Another customer said he wants to have two of them. Oh, I'm sorry, please, I'm sorry. You want two of that? He was so impatient and was already yelling at me, can I have a couple? That's America for you. You have seen drivers, right? Racing. Nobody wants to slow down. 1 week plus ago, I was going home from work. And this guy was following me and felt I was slower than I should. And so he was like, woo! And then gave me the middle finger, like, uh-oh. That's America. We want instant results. We are impatient with people. We can't handle even long sermons. I know some people may have started looking at their watch. Just give it to us and get out. That's all. Modern technology has made it even worse. I don't know if you watched Biden when they were talking about the person that was killed. They showed where he was looking at his watch. That's America. It's not about Biden. It's not about Trump. That's our DNA. Impatience. We fret. We react negatively. We tussle. We force. But day-to-day experience is teaching us to wait. Think about the uncertainties of COVID. Is it not teaching you to wait? And yet we are not doing a good job. I mean, 2020, I thought that after 2020, we get into 2021, that life would be like, okay, let me now slow down. Oh no, it's even worse. And that's the reason we are seeing all those killings, killings, killings. How many in 1 minute? They are now trying to calculate how many killings in one single minute. Do you know that for every 2 to 3 minutes in this country, somebody is attempting suicide? I mean, 2 minutes to 3. Can you imagine how many suicides since we started this worship service? Impatience. Life is nothing. I can't handle life. Yes, you can. Why not? Even students, Feso came back and said, you know, let me tell you what the problem is. My teacher rushes me. You know, they will give us 100 multiplication. Did you say 1 minute? 6 minutes. And so that he's rushing, rushing, rushing. And then the teacher would be like, 2 more minutes, 1 more minute. That's the problem. They should give you time to think and do your stuff, but they are rushing, rushing, rushing. But that's America. Lack of waiting. That is weightlessness. Our needs, our wants. We're in the hospital. We are waiting for, you know, the test from medical procedure. It's teaching us to calm down and wait. Calm down, slow down. But we're not. But there were good waiters in the Bible. And God showed up for them. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old when they had their promised child, Isaac. They waited. Hannah waited for many, many years to have Samuel. Jacob waited for 14 years to have consent to marry Rachel. He served for 7 years. The father-in-law tricked him and gave him another woman. He served another 7 years, 14 full years. I waited for my husband for 8 years to have consent from my only brother. He said I wasn't going to marry him. And that even if he was dead, he would be over his dead body. That he should marry a richer person. Blind Bartimaeus waited the unnamed man. You remember the man that we talked about a couple of weeks ago? 38 years of sickness, he waited until Jesus showed up. There were bad waiters too. Saul of the Bible was a bad waiter. He couldn't even wait for Samuel to come and give the sacrifice. He did it himself, and it cost him his dynasty. There are other people, the Israelites, could not wait. When Moses went to bring the commandments, they decided to have their own God. They made their own God, and God destroyed so many of them. When we don't wait, it affects our relationship with the Lord. If we don't wait, it affects our relationship with our families, our friends, our neighbors, just the world. When we don't wait, we have health problems. And we lack joy and peace. And that's why in the morning you see somebody, the person is frowning. Why are you frowning in the morning? Nothing has even happened, but you're already thinking about what you need to do. You don't want to waste time to talk to anyone. And so you're frowning. You don't want anybody to say good morning. And when somebody does, so what is good about the morning? Everything is good. At least you are alive. You are still in the land of the living. So it is good. And you are not in the hospital. We must wait. That's what the Lord is telling us this morning. Since we are waiting because of the advent for Christ to show up, wait on the Lord. Slow down. Wait on people just like the restaurant people do. Be a good waiter. Wait for him. Second Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand the slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Still all those noises on your phones, and just calm down about life. All those sirens and televisions and all the noises that excite you, that make you to just be on the, you know, just to be busy in your head, on your body. Slow it down. Do you have time to spend with the Lord? Do you have time? Do you have a moment to say, this is for the Lord. No matter what, I have to meet with God. I have to be quiet before him. I have to ask him questions, and I want to listen and hear him. Do you have that kind of time? Do you have a particular place around your house that you meet with the Lord? Or do you just wake up in the morning and then you shower and you zoom out? But you don't own your life. Somebody can, I mean, God can do it this way, and you can't do anything about it. I mean, he can make you and decide to make you this way and decide to put you back. You can't do anything about it. And so is it not better to have time with this person that has control of your life? Sit down sometimes. Ponder about stuff. Do you know that God called Samuel when he was sleeping? Sleep over stuff. Do you know that Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people when he asked them to sit down? Sit down on your problems. Sit down on stuff. Don't be all nasty. Oh, just nasty. Nobody will ask you questions and you will quietly answer. No, you're always on the go. I don't want people to waste my time. What time do you have? Time doesn't belong to you or to me. And while I'm talking to you, I'm telling you that I'm talking to myself. Honestly. I need to slow down. Sometimes I tell myself, no, you are so stupid. Just calm down. Calm down about life. Why are you so worried about stuff? And that's why we get sick. We have sleepless nights sometimes. And we have things happening around us. Slow down. Sit down. Talk to the Lord through prayers. Do you have specific, program? Lord, I present my program for the day to you. Please, can you guide me, lead me? I don't even know what I'm doing. You already know the end from the beginning. Hand it over to him. He has you and everything you think you have. Do you read your Bible? Do you? You know, I'm not trying to indict you, though. I don't know if you have marked your Bible. I don't know if somebody opens your Bible, it's all messy, and so, you know, all pen and pencils marking on it. The blacker it is, the whiter your heart is. Mark on it. Say, oh, God said this to me this morning or this evening. Keep on marking, keep on reading, keep on studying. That's what God wants us to do. Wait on him. Don't worry about stuff. God will take care. He loves us so much. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. He wants to interact with us. He is our friend. Enjoy him while you are waiting for Christ to show up on Christmas. But you know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, it's very hard. Do you have Christ in your heart? Have you surrendered to him? Have you said, Jesus, forgive my trespasses and sins. I am not worthy. Come into my heart. Change me. Please. I surrender completely. Do that. It will be easier to wait when you know him personally. And before I stop, I covet your prayers. I'm going to travel to Africa. And I know you already know that it's a dangerous place. But I'm going by faith. Faith and I. Trusting that when the Lord calls you for something, you do it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's a promise. So I want you to pray for me. It's a request that I am making. So every day while you are waiting, just mention my name. I mean every day. And I'm counting on you. So if any day you didn't call my name, know that I'm not happy. So make sure. And another thing I want to plead with you is, if you haven't taken the GPS inventory, I don't want to ask people to raise their hands who have taken it. Some people have taken it. I beg you, for mercy's sake, I beg you, for Christ's sake, go ahead and take that inventory. It's only $20-something. If you don't have it, and I mean what I'm saying, I mean every word of what I want to say right now. If you think you don't have that money, I will pay for it. And I mean it. And I will be joyful to do it. And so let me believe that when I come back in January, you would have taken it. The reason is, we will work on our spiritual health next year. Much of my summons will be about how to enjoy ourselves. It's a joy to be spiritually strong. Amen.